And hey there, everybody. One more time. It is Forrest Arnold with you here on Thrive Past 50 with my eloquent friend, Dr. Cameron Michael. Am I saying your name right, Michael?
Mickle, like pickle with an M.
Mickle. Okay, pickle with an M. So Cameron Pickle. Mickle. Okay. Hey, everybody. One of the things I love about working with you, Doc, is that we can be plain and spoken plainly. Those of you who see this conversation online, you might see the bandage on my neck. I'm kidding, but I could tell you I went to the dermatologist and they worked on my skin cancer. Or I could say, I said one last time to my wife, "What did you say, honey?" And she wanted to cut my freaking throat. So I guess the comment that they made somewhere along the line when you were going through audiology training is you might be doing some marriage counseling too. What do you see between people when one of their hearing starts to change? What do you see happen between people?
So it can definitely vary in the relationships, but the pretty common theme is you're not hearing as well as you used to. Our communication has been impacted by this. We need to address the concern because it's getting to be frustrating. And nobody needs frustration in a marriage. I mean, marriage is a lot of work on its own when things are going well. And throwing in things that might be, a problem that we're kind of aware of, maybe we've noticed the TV volumes creeping up a little bit, or we might ask for repetition because there's background noise present. We don't hear from room to room any longer, without really shouting at each other.
That's bad news.
And so we see these little subtle changes that we go, ah, maybe things are changing. But when somebody else really kind of pulls attention to some of the things, it can either be a, okay, I've noticed the same thing, let's get it taken care of. Or it can be very resistant of, nope, you just tried to talk to me. Well, we're doing this other thing instead of having good communication, which all of us are lousy about communicating around the house. We're familiar with who we're talking to. We know their likes and disinterests. And so it's really easy to, be doing what we're doing and go, I'm sorry, honey, what was that? I just finished reading, the news article I was reading, or sorry, I was winning my solitaire game on my phone. And then we do the same thing. We walk into the other room doing an activity and turn around and go, oh, hey, honey, what are we doing? And they come wandering in and go, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about here?
And so it definitely can, affect everybody in the family. And then it gets to be very interesting when, maybe the kids are starting to get a little bit older and the grandkids go, hey, mom, grandpa doesn't seem to hear well all the time. Or why does, grandma hang out in the corner and really not interact with anybody? And we can see these, social interactions changing. And that's where a lot of new research is showing that things are, the ear bone is connected to the toe bone. It's not the ear bones connected to the head bone to the neck bone to the shoulder bone kind of thing. We're all interconnected and it all affects us
Oh
health-wise.
boy, that's intense, man. And I think there's really I like the comment, the ear bone is connected to the toe bone, because boy, do I get tired of not quite being heard. And the tonality change that happens with, how many times do I have to say this anyway? Come on, man. Like that edgy tonality, I find that very triggering and provoking and so forth. So,
The spousal frustration when that happens, you go, I'm not trying to be a jerk. If I wanted to push buttons, I know a dozen ways to push a button. I'm just trying to hear what you said. Yeah, I'd like toast with my coffee today for breakfast. Sorry I didn't get that. But anytime we raise our volume a little bit to try and compensate for hearing loss, we tend to stress our volume as well.
That's it. And the sensitivity to tonality, I don't know if it's just me or if it's universal. It's pretty more universal, is it? Isn't it something?
We know when people are upset.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I can tell when the voice gets a little cranky or a little accusative or commanding. You know, I said, move the fucking table. Okay. Well, all right. Sorry. But that whole idea of that relationship stage where we have to deal with the frustration over the changes that have happened over years. We've been together 20 years, Sandra and I, and it doesn't necessarily make us patient and all graceful when it comes to this issue. So,
oh, heavens no.
Yeah.
With the longer we spend together, the more we go, come on, I know you upside down and backwards.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit shorter fuse for, you know, things to be frustrating at times.
Yes.
And then there are other things where we go, that is just them. And that is the way that they're going to, you know, brush their teeth. Okay, whatever it might be. And, you know, we just accept it. But for some reason, when communication gets impacted negatively, it really becomes frustrating for the whole family.
Wow. What a trip, man. Now, you start to mention kids. And in my circle of friends, we've got Kitsap Circle that we meet each week. Got a couple of financial planners, a couple of insurance providers. And what I was just startled by is the amount of change in a good way that technology has advanced in medical as to cancer treatment, those kind of things, but also in some of the financial tools that didn't used to be available. Living benefits was one of them, where you can actually draw some cash out of a future value of your life insurance, those kind of things. What are the advances you're seeing? When you told my wife, Sandra, and I, her kind of hearing loss might be improved by a thumbtack. Mine, we're working on augmentation and amplification. There are different tools for these, aren't there?
Oh, golly, yeah. So our typical hearing loss that the majority of us are going to develop as adults, somewhere starting, you know, maybe around 50 years of age for a lot of us.
Right.
But really in that about 70 years old is when we see this magic hearing loss start showing up from almost all of us.
Ding, there we go. Okay.
By the time we're 80, it's almost a guarantee that we're going to have some sort of measurable hearing loss.
Okay.
Now, that typical hearing loss we're seeing due to aging, noise damage from working in, you know, maybe military service or a factory, something like that.
Sure.
That's all going to be sensors in the ear that are destroyed and natural aging of the nerve and things. That's nothing we can deal with from a surgical perspective.
Okay.
Until it gets to the point where we got to replace it, and then we're looking at a cochlear implant.
Yeah.
So for most of us, that's, you know, treated with hearing aids to augment the access to conversation and sounds.
Good.
In other situations, some of the mechanical anatomy of the ear is damaged, where maybe the ear bones aren't articulating well. They're, you know, fused together. Maybe they've been eroded by an infection or something.
Uh-huh.
And in that case, the surgeon can go in and replace it with prosthetics, or, you know, there's a couple of surgical treatments.
No kidding. Now, when you actually, my friend, did a hearing test for my lady Sandra the other day, what was cool to her and brought up a good conversation between us is the fact that there could be a way that the mechanics inside her ear could actually be removed and replaced with a device, a thumbtack, that would hear and communicate directly to her her hearing bone. What is that all about?
So the particular surgery that she's being evaluated for would be a stapedectomy, which the little ear bones aren't working properly.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose of those little ear bones, very much like a thumbtack, focuses pressure from the thumb to a very fine point to, you know, pop through a note onto a corkboard.
Right.
Sound leaving the air into our fluid-filled ear or inner ear takes that same pressure differential by using the little ear bones as thumbtack setup. And so if all, you know, depending on what the surgeon finds, they might be able to go in and replace or augment what she's got from her, you know, we'll call it broken anatomy, even though it's not necessarily broken, and put in something as a prosthetic that would replace what's not working as, you know, her other ear does.
No kidding. Wow. And is that, does that actually replace the eardrum itself?
No. What they typically do will make a little incision behind the ear in the fold of the ear there so that it's, you know, hidden when they stitch back up. And they just fold the ear forward and work through the ear canal. They just kind of push everything out of the way, and they've got, you know, teeny tiny little, well, for most of us, about the size of a little green pea that they're, you know, working through there with very fine tools and great microscopes. And it works well.
No kidding. Wow.
And
has that been around for a while?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's been around for, oh, geez, I'm going to say probably since the 40s or 50s without looking it up.
Oh, wow. The 1840s, 1850s. Well,
no, 1950s after World War II.
Far out, man. Well, this is cool. I see. And I think the thing is, there are specialties that you know about. There are specialties that I know about as a counselor and as a realtor. I've probably forgotten some of the complexities that I know well, and same for you. And so we might know some of these things at a depth that everyday folks wouldn't know. You can see on my wall back here, I've got a cavalry sword. If things really get rough, I can stop playing guitar or fiddle and just bring the knife out. But
well, I'm glad that Sandra hit you with that dull sword rather than a sharp razor.
That's, believe me, she could have just completely finished the whole conversation. You know, I think that whole idea, I guess as a doctor, you are, people hopefully will listen to what you say. But when it comes to dealing with that tonal frustration, the frustration between partners, as my hearing has changed, there's a feeling of leading with kind of an annoyed feeling. I guess you can counsel people to be patient, but you can't make them do it. So what do you do?
Yeah. I say we do end up doing a lot of counseling and, you know, interpersonal relationship chats and conversations. And one of the big things that I really stress for anyone, I mean, it works great for just, you know, excellent hearing individuals. We still miss stuff at times.
Sure.
Is don't ask for repetition. Repetition pushes that frustration button because we all know you didn't hear it. You're asking me to say it again. I said it the first time. Oh, now I'm saying it the third time and you still didn't hear it.
Oh, God.
It works really great to, you know, fill in what we did hear. But I know this also takes a little bit of being open and a little vulnerable to going, I know I didn't hear this properly.
Yeah.
But if we ask for repetition, we get the same sentence back. Do you want some toast with your coffee this morning?
Yeah.
And we sit there going, what did I miss? What did I miss? What did I miss? I missed that second word. Crud, I missed the second and third word because I'm so focused on not missing a word. Yeah. And sometimes the brain will, you know, pick up extra clues and we fill it in. And other times it just becomes a frustrating, you know, disaster.
Oh, gosh.
Instead, if we say, I'm sorry, did you say, do I want toes with my coffee this morning? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
One, it's going to, you know, probably go, wow, your hearing is really off. Cleaned or something.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we'll also go, oh, wait, I get how you heard toes versus toast. Yeah, no. I want to know if you want, you know, something with bread and jam on it for breakfast.
Right.
And we go, oh, you want to know if I want toast and coffee? Yeah, I'd love some.
Yeah.
And for some silly reason, it takes that frustration away.
Well, that's good. It's a really super good piece of the pie there. Because again, one technique, this is a very important technique. Others can use it if they'd like. But if I hear, what you did better, and I say, did you say better, better, that's a frustration for her too. If I try to repeat the music, I didn't hear the words, the verses, but I heard the music. Da, 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 da. Okay, it doesn't help, but it's a way to, and sometimes I'll do it with a smile or a laugh or whatever. And the truth is, that's not that helpful. If I don't really get it, I shouldn't fake it either. And I think that's right. Part of what she senses is there's times when I'm responding and she says, "You didn't hear me, did you?" And I got to go, "I didn't really know, honey, I didn't." So the ways that we're humble enough and patient enough with each other, those are some advanced skills, and they do apply to most every couple who is together on a long-term basis, yeah?
Well, and then there's a couple other things we can do. All of us have to work to hear speech and background noise. It's not just we sort it out easily. It's a you know, lifting a heavy weight kind of activity with the brain. Minimizing all that background noise to have a conversation definitely helps.
Yep.
Not having conversations from across the house or
yes.
opposite rooms.
Yep.
Or while we're digging in the refrigerator for, you know, items that we're making dinner with,
yep.
and going, "Hey, you know, I don't see the mustard. Where's the mustard at? It's usually right here in the door."
Yeah.
And somebody else is in the other room watching TV and they're going, "Why are you talking to the refrigerator? I can't hear you if you're talking."
I can't hear you.
Yeah. And using those good strategies really makes a big difference.
Well, that's a huge thing, man, because right there, we've got a couple of dogs. The big dog, he gets pretty cranky around his food. And when the little dog comes along, sometimes it seems okay. Yesterday, there was a moment where the big dog was saying no, and he went after the little one in a way that it was a bad setup. It was a bad setup on my part to put them together around the issues of affection or food. So in the same way, between people that are in a close relationship, if I keep saying to you, "No, could you say it again? Sorry, say again." After a while, it feels like I don't care about you. And that's not the truth of the matter, but that's what seems to come across, is you don't care enough to even listen to me anymore. Well, no, that's not really quite.
There's some big differences between hearing and listening, for sure. But you interact a lot.
Good. Well, wonderful. Is there anything else on the near horizon in terms of changes in hearing equipment? I have a friend from Rotary Club who came to you and was able to get these cool ones that have a nice battery and they work all day. He doesn't have to swap the battery out of the little tiny unit and all that. Is there anything else coming on the horizon that looks interesting to you?
So the big, big thing at the moment that I'm kind of excited for is a new technology in Bluetooth called AuraCast.
AuraCast. Okay.
Traditional Bluetooth is nothing more than about a 30, 35 foot FM radio signal. It's nothing special.
Okay.
But it has a cool name for what it is.
Yeah.
Well, that has always had a one-to-one connection. You can hook, you know, your phone to a desktop speaker. You can hook your phone to the hearing aid.
Yeah.
But one-to-one. You can't hook your phone to, you know, multiple hearing aids and hear, you know, YouTube videos together.
Yes.
Well, the Bluetooth work group got together and has created this new thing called AuraCast.
Okay.
That launched, I want to say, about a year ago now. And it's a one-to-multiple people Bluetooth.
Okay.
And so we think of things like going into a movie theater and you can tie into their system and bam, the movie, you know, runs right through your device.
Nice.
That is the new thing that's coming on the horizon. There's a few devices that are getting ready to have that capability. Unfortunately, because it's brand new technology, it's going to be a couple of years and so before we really see it out there and about. But that is a really big thing coming at the moment.
Okay. Wow, that's a good one.
We've seen huge improvements with the lithium-ion rechargeable batteries, waterproofing, speech versus background noise is always getting better. So there's been a lot of really, really great improvements there with hearing aids.
Wonderful. Wow.
And the big thing that came out, I know in our previous podcast we did a little while ago, we were talking about the new research in cognitive decline and hearing loss.
Yes.
I had the privilege of interacting with Dr. Frank Lin out of Johns Hopkins when I first graduated. I was out in the Maryland area.
Okay.
And so I got to interact with him quite a bit. And he's really the team lead that discovered there is a connection there. Well, back in July, there was the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And the results were presented at that meeting as well as in the Lancet Medical Journal. And they call it the ACHIEVE study. And it was the first really, really in-depth study on cognition and hearing loss.
Okay.
And what they know is there's a very strong relationship between cognitive impairment and hearing loss.
Oh boy, sure.
They have not found, you know, causality that one leads to the other and things like that. But there's some really close interactions there
yep.
that a lot of times we see folks going, oh, you know what? I don't like to go to dinner anymore. It's noisy. I have trouble communicating.
Yep.
I don't like going to, you know, that party anymore. It's too hard. And so our social world changes and our cognitive changes. And so they dove into it a little bit deeper this time.
Got it. Got it.
And what they found is that, with that distinct treatment of the hearing loss, that older adults who have an increased risk for cognitive decline, hearing intervention slowed down the loss of thinking and memory abilities by 48%.
That's incredible.
Over a 3-year period.
Wow.
I mean, that is huge.
That
huge.
Is monstrous.
I mean, basically what it's saying is you don't treat your hearing loss, there's about a 25% increased risk for cognitive decline earlier in life.
Yeah.
You treat your underlying hearing loss and basically takes that lottery ticket, throws it out the window.
No kidding, man. That's amazing.
Even beyond that, it tends to be the 70 to 84-year-old group that we start seeing the majority of concerns coming on, the 80 plus group, due to just, you know, normal aging and things, we saw bigger results there. But it's a huge, huge piece of research saying we got to take care of ourselves.
That's amazing. Well, you know, the guy that did our wedding for us, he was the minister for our wedding. It's a guy named Gino, and he's a wall builder. He's a rocksmith, and he does rocks this and rock that, and we'll do the paving out to the driveway, and he'll do a rock wall that's got beauty to it. He is 99 years old.
Holy moly!
Oh, it's just unreal. He has always stayed out in the sun, does not seem to have a problem with the sun, but he's got these other things, including hearing changes. And I just thought, what do you do to live to 99? One thing you do is you stay active and physical. That's what he has done. The connection through our work with Thrive Past 50, it just shows up again and again. Mobility, staying physically active, those things are incredibly important. And it's like this connection between hearing and cognitive ability. That's stunning. I find myself saying wow a lot today.
That old saying of use it or lose it.
Yeah.
Really, really holds true that whether we're not moving mobility, our legs get weak, we can't get out of a chair, our knees start falling apart, we can't, you know, we're not as mobile, we don't use our brain, it starts to, you know, change, we don't use our hearing, it starts to change,
yeah.
We don't use a muscle, it gets weak.
Boy.
It's a use it or lose it for the whole system.
Man, that's something. There's a lot to take away from our conversation today, Dr. Cameron. I'm so grateful to have met you and continue to have our good connection, when this last week, my right hearing aid all of a sudden went completely, what? It was after I saw you and you repaired it, all right? And we got a good close look at it. Sandra, my in-house technician, got in there, opened it up, looked at it, looked at taking it, you know, off of the app and clearing it and make sure. But the phone said it is 100% charged, and it was all, you know, set up and it was connected to the system. She took out the little filter devices, popped that thing out, and in the very little tip was some earwax. I don't know where it came from or how it got there, but she popped that and put a new filter in. All of a sudden, boom, everything was working again. So I think to have somebody that you adore and trust, like we adore and trust you, is a great pleasure. And I just want to thank you for being with us again here on Thrive Past 50.
It's my absolute pleasure to be here and update everybody with what's been going on the hearing side of things.
I like it. And everybody, as you hear this program, Dr. Cameron is out on Bainbridge Island for most of the week. You also still doing the Port Ludlow?
I still have an office up in Port Ludlow, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Great. So what we're talking about is Hear for Life Audiology. So you can get online and look at the days and make the call to get set up with Dr. Cameron. Thank you, bro.
My pleasure. Tell your sweet pea I said hi.
Great. Bye-bye.